Who here has seen the TV sitcom The Office? A few. I hear it's the most popular thing on Netflix, but so probably a few of you. But anyway, it ran in the 2000s, but I'm just sort of getting to finishing up the seasons now. And it's not really a profound show or a totally moral show, but one thing I like about it is that the characters have some depth to them. There's some character development over the course of its 9-season run. And one of those characters is Andy Bernard. And when we first meet Andy, he's always trying to get attention. He's trying to be liked and respected by everyone. And he's rather obnoxious. But as the seasons go by, we learn about his family a little bit, and especially about his dad. And then things start to make more sense. His dad has never respected Andy. He's always preferred Andy's brother, Walter. And we meet Andy's dad in a couple different episodes. And nothing Andy does for him, no matter how extravagant, is ever enough for him. His dad is always disappointed, always disapproving. You know, Andy plays the guitar and he sings, and so one time he writes this special song to sing with his dad, try to connect with him, but his dad says he'd rather sing it with Walter, and that's what they end up doing. Andy's family had a nice boat that they would take trips on, and sometimes the dad would let Walter take the wheel, but he would never let Andy take the wheel. He always said he'd crash it or he'd wreck it. He didn't trust him. Andy's dad never gave him the attention, the affection, and the approval that he longed for. And it's sad. But what's more sad than this character on a comedy sitcom is what's tragic is that that is the same image that many people have of God. And there's different reasons for that. Sometimes their relationship with their earthly father was not good. He failed in loving them and caring for them, and then that becomes the image that they have of their heavenly father. Sometimes they had an overly strict religious teaching that they received that focused only on judgment. Sometimes maybe they're overcome with the guilt of their own sins, but for whatever reason, many people go through life with a very harsh picture of God in their hearts. A distant God, one who's always vaguely disappointed with them or is outright angry at them. Who doesn't seem to care if they succeed or fail. He's not invested in them, but he's only waiting and watching to punish them when they do fail. A God who only demands more and more of them and is never grateful, never tells them he loves them or is proud of them. A God who shames them for their failures and who at best merely tolerates their presence. It's hard to live with that kind of image of God, if that's your picture of God. People hate it. That feeling that God is shaming them for their sins, that's what leads some people to run away from God, to just block him out for years and for decades. Some people feel so unworthy. They fear God's criticism so much that they don't come to church at all. I knew a man who'd been away from the church for a long time, and at the end of his life, he wouldn't even receive the sacraments. He didn't feel worthy. It was tragic. Some people react differently to this picture of God that they have. They think God is angry at them, and so they hate God right back, and they go through life that way. Well, that picture of God as a distant, harsh, or angry father, Jesus hates that image of the Father because it's false. And one of the things that Jesus came to earth to do was to break down that false image and give us a more accurate image of who the Father really is. Jesus wants to remove from our hearts the false, twisted images of God that we carry around with us and replace them with a true image of our Heavenly Father. And so he gives us this beautiful parable, this famous parable of the prodigal son. When you look up the word prodigal, it means spending recklessly, wastefully extravagant, or having or giving something on a lavish scale. And this does apply to the way the son spends his inheritance on loose living and sin. But that definition of prodigal could just as well apply to the way the Father spends his love and affection beyond any rational limit. After all, the Son gave his Father the ultimate insult. He asked for his inheritance now because he wanted to leave, basically saying, "You're no good to me, Dad. I wish you were dead. So just give me your share. Give me the share of the money that I'll get when you die, because I don't want to wait for that. And then I'm going to leave. I can't stand being around you anymore, so I'm going to take your money and then get as far away from you as I can." That's certainly enough to wreck a relationship even today. But even more so in those times when respect for your elders was paramount in the culture. This kind of thing just wasn't done. It was unheard of. And if it was, the Son would be totally written off. Now, Jesus' listeners would be impressed if the Father even agreed to take the Son back as a hired worker. That's the best that the Son can hope for as he walks back to his Father's house. But what does the Father do? What does the Father do? It says, while he was still a long way off, his Father caught sight of him. His Father is out front, in the front of his property, watching for him, just staring off into the horizon, hoping that his son might be coming back. How many days was the Father out there, sitting there, watching, hoping and praying that maybe this day his son might return? While he was still a long way off, his Father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. And then it just says, he ran to his son. I like to picture that sometimes. There's a beautiful painting of this, of the Father running towards his son. And in that image, in the face of the Father, there's so much. There's concern for his son. There's joy to see him again. There's some of the tears and the tension that he's felt for so long as he waited for his son are still there. And most of all, there's a deep love. He doesn't sit there on the porch with his arms crossed and just coldly watch his son as he comes back. No, he runs out to him. When the son left, he made it clear that he wanted to get away from his father. And so his father respected that freedom. He doesn't run after him at that point. But now that he sees him returning, he doesn't wait for him. He doesn't walk out to meet him. He runs to him, ready to wrap him in a big hug, to embrace him, eager to admit him back into the family, give him a fine robe and sandals and a ring and throw him a party. He runs to him, eager to admit him fully back into his love. Well, brothers and sisters, that is the image that Jesus wants us to have of God the Father. That's the image that he reveals to us in this parable. Over and against the false images of God that we carry around inside of us, a God who's indifferent to us, harsh and angry, quick to condemn, contrary to all of those false images, Jesus gives us the true image of our Heavenly Father, the one who runs to us with love and forgiveness and joy. Now, this isn't the only image of God that Jesus gives us. You can think of another famous parable of Jesus, the sheep and the goats. And so he does give us the image of him on Judgment Day. And we need that image in our head sometimes too, if we've been too careless about serving others, if we've been unconcerned about our sins. And so he does give us that. But that Judgment Day image, if that's the only image we have of God, or if that's the dominant one, that's not good for us. That harms our relationship with our Heavenly Father. It stunts our growth. So Jesus gives us this image of the prodigal son, the prodigal father. Now, the call to avoid sin, to grow in holiness, our vocations in life, the other growth the Lord has for us, all of this stuff can only flourish within that loving embrace of the Father. So let's ask Jesus to do a transplant in our hearts, Let's ask him to remove from us any false notions about God or false images of God that we have, anything that obscures who God really is, and ask him to replace it with the image that he gives in this parable, the Father running to us, eager to receive us, to forgive us, and embrace us with his love.